All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. This recording is not intended for individuals who do not currently possess the proper security clearance for a top secret and secret compartmentalized information clearance. You are hereby ordered to stop this recording and destroy all materials. All unauthorized persons hearing this recording are hereby ordered to stop playing of this material and report yourself to the nearest DIA or CIA field office under presidential order. To report the mishandling of classified material, fill out a report with the DNI using the whistleblowing outreach process. This process is protected by the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act of 1998, a secure means for employees to report to Congress any allegations regarding classified information. Possession of any TSSCI materials or internal notes by unauthorized persons is subject to federal charges under 18 U.S.C. 798, Disclosure of Classified Information, and 18 U.S.C. 1924, Unauthorized Removal and Retention of Classified Documents. Any person found in possession of these materials will be subject to the penalty of a fine under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. You have been officially warned. If you are an authorized security clearance holder, please stand by for the following report. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about Project Sunstreak, which was a former CIA and DIA classified project. For a little bit of background, I'd like to read you an article wrote by Laura Allen of Ranker.com. The title of this is Inside Project Sunstreak, the CIA Attempt to Create Psychic Spies. Not everyone believes in the power of psychics. Their supposed abilities certainly raise eyebrows, but at one point in history, the United States government decided that psychic skills were weapons they needed on their side. Thus began in 1978 what would later be titled Project Sunstreak. This project focused on creating psychic spies capable of seeing places remotely using psychoenergetics. Though psychoenergetics, an offshoot of psychotronics, may sound like a term straight out of the science fiction novels, it refers to the supposed connection between the human psyche and energy. Over its 20-year operation, Project Sunstreak had various names and was eventually labeled Project Stargate overall. It tapped into psychic and entertainment communities and even called upon Scientologists. The CIA declassified documents relating to the project in 1995, and while the information they contain is certainly ludicrous, hilarious, and utterly outstanding, you can decide if their effort appear supernatural. Here are the insane particulars of the CIA Project Sunstreak's crazy efforts to tap into the power of the paranormal. So just how did the U.S. military first buy into the notion that creating psychic spies was a necessity? Because the Soviets were doing it, of course, in the late 60s and early 70s. At the height of the Cold War, the CIA started to get nervous about reports that the Soviet Union was researching and even experimenting with psychotronics. The most obvious reason for such research would be for spying purposes, but initially, the U.S. didn't sweat such preposterous measures. When the CIA discovered in 1970 that the Soviets were, in fact, spending around 60 million rubles on the research each year, they started to get concerned. And then within 5 years, Soviet spending in the area quintupled, and the CIA realized the Soviets must have had a breakthrough that was worthy of worrying about. Not to be outdone in the area of psychic espionage, the CIA funded a research project called SCANATE, Scan by Coordinate, which was based on the Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, California. Project Sunstreak wasn't, and wouldn't be, always thusly named. In the early 1970s at the Stanford Research Institute, two scientists coined the term remote viewing. It was the ability to see with one's mind things happening elsewhere that would be the focus of Project Sunstreak. Previously, Project Gondola Wish has been a major military initiative tasked with finding similar ways to replicate what the Soviets might be doing with psychics. By 1978, Project Gondola Wish was retitled Project Grill Flame, which really makes one think that they were quite hungry to get started. Over the years, the project would shift focus and funding to become Project Centerlane, and then finally, Project Sunstreak. Eventually, all the various operations would be given the overarching title Project Stargate. It's the Sunstreak era, however, that really shows just how weird the government project got. For any truly weird idea to carry weight with professionals on the level of the Central Intelligence Agency, there has to be one enthusiast championing the project. For Project Sunstreak, that man was Major General Albert Stubblebine. Put simply, this guy was one strange man. Throwing military propriety to the wind, he had unabashedly shared his enthusiasm for the mystical. He was known to hold spoon-bending sessions with his staff and soldiers and make his generals walk through a fire as a way of tapping into their inner wisdom. In the early 1980s, Stubblebine was responsible for the United States Army Intelligence and Security Command, INSCOM. At the time, Stubblebine got into hot water for his practice of sending his men to the Monroe Institute, an organization using the HemiSync treatment to trigger out of body experiences. One of the men sent to the institute was pushed to the mental instability and was found wandering around nude. Eventually, Stubblebine would be pushed into retirement due to his audacious interests, but by then he championed Project Sunstreak to the point of tremendous funding. Other than the U.S.'s competition with the Soviet Union, what else could have justified all this effort to train psychic spies? Well, they had a very particular mission statement initially. Find the location of a crashed Navy aircraft. And according to the CIA briefing on Project Sunstreak, the vessel was located within 15 miles of where a psychic remote viewer said it would be. As the project grew and evolved, the mission statements broadened and focused on more practical applications for remote viewing. The people involved in the program were asked to find hostages, such as Terry Waite, who they claimed to have found. They were tested with questions about what information was inside of a classified envelope and asked to describe locations they weren't familiar with or near. Project Sunstreak's psychic spies believed themselves capable of leaving their bodies in order to explore outside themselves. One of the project's participants took this concept a bit further, claiming he could leave the planet and even the current time period. Ed Dames, who was a monitor and an overseer of most of Project Sunstreak's remote viewing sessions, practiced what was called advanced training, in which he pushed the boundaries of remote viewing in non-military capacities. He claimed to see the fall of Atlantis, saying it was located at the bottom of Lake Titicaca, and also to have found the Loch Ness Monster, which he said was really just a dinosaur's ghost. He also discussed encountering UFOs and Martians. There are theories that Dames incorporated drug use in his sessions, but there is no evidence to support the claim. After hearing these bizarre tales, you may ask yourself, how does a project such as Sunstreak go about finding any recruits? Well, they turn to a church, claiming to test people for these psychic and paranormal traits, the Church of Scientology. Before the military initiative of Project Gondola, which even existed, Scientologists Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff were researching highly gifted artists and operating Thetan Level 7 Scientologists. This level of Scientology is supposedly made up of empaths, empathetic persons, and were among the project's first recruits. But how did the project test for accuracy? Well, they required a low level of proficiency. An average person will be right half the time in basic psychic yes or no testing. The minimum accuracy of the project was 65%. Basically, a lucky psychic makes for a proficient psychic in the minds of the heads of this project. One might think the project's defunding was the result of some wise soul catching on to the project's ridiculousness. But that's not what happened at all. Up until 1982, DIA and ENSCOM worked together to help keep Project Grill Flame going. Then suddenly the Budget Subcommittee of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence gave a startling announcement. They would stop ENSCOM's funding of all psychoenergetic operational activities. The cancellation of Project Sunstreak was actually an honest mix-up. ENSCOM believed the project was being double-funded by DIA and ENSCOM. This was not actually the case. It took until years later when the project was titled Stargate for the funding to finally return. What's most strange about the entire thing was that at no point was the funding in jeopardy because of the actual work being done, training psychic spies. Due to the top secret classification of the project, a person may be led to think that the project would be operated out of some obscure desert base, but that was not the case. The project was based at Fort Meade in Maryland, between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. Further, the living and working conditions were anything but swanky. At the fort, the project was housed in low wood barracks built during the Second World War. The roofs leaked, the boards squeaked, and there were few modern amenities. The crude location kept the budget low and kept the experiments isolated from the rest of the fort, allowing them freedom and even deeper secrecy. There are two known women that were involved in Project Sunstreak. They were doubly named the Witches. Ed Dames, who was the leading remote viewer operating at the time, had said that Angela De La Foria and Robin Dalgan were the sort of psychics most people are used to seeing in late-night infomercials. The woman preferred not to call it remote viewing and instead used more common psychic rhetoric, such as channeling. They also knew exactly how to appeal to their male superiors, providing them with tarot readings and giving them positive predictions in their personal lives. Ed Dames held strong disdain for both women for their personal lack of interest in the project's military endeavors. When Pan Am Flight 103 exploded over Lockerbie, Scotland, killing everyone on board, in 1988 Project Sunstreak was in full swing. The viewers were asked to locate the bomb that was used to blow up the plane. The CIA told them that they needed to describe the composite photo of the reconstructed baggage container said to have held the bomb, and give the location of the bomb within that area. The remote viewing sessions of the subject weren't all that useful. One participant described a neat blue color and a car crash, not quite the accuracy of forensic science as we are given today. So what was the budget for Project Sunstreak? In a briefing document, the program is described as advantageous because the overall cost was small. They didn't use fancy equipment and had the most basic for facilities. But the project grew past its initial 30 employees to be over 40 people, 23 of whom were remote viewers. At its height, the project received a whopping $500,000 per year. Overall, the project cost roughly $20 million. Of course, people involved claimed that it was all worth it. But it's difficult to know just how all of this money was actually spent and on what. An interesting side note into the remote viewing operators. To hone their craft, the remote viewers would sometimes sneak a peek in on other psychics. After all, the Soviets had psychic spies as well, and it was critical to learn their secrets. Despite the project's mission statement claiming remote viewing was a passive act, remote viewers claimed to have spied on renowned psychic Uri Geller of Israel, who has since been shown to be a magician rather than a mystic. In this case, the person doing the remote viewing separated themselves. Then they would relay what they saw about the individual and felt out for him. Remote viewer 052, whose names are all redacted from this report, reported on the information about Uri Geller's wife. The way he had a big nose and spiky hair, and that he liked to eat pasta. Interestingly, the viewer also described Geller as an entertainer rather than a psychic. So perhaps he or she did have some good intuition. Still, it's hard to see the military benefit to such a ridiculous exercise. It may be easy to dismiss such seemingly strange military endeavor because of the intense and fear-driven climate of the Cold War. But it was a strange and confusing time. While the project was birthed in the 1970s, it continued well into the 1990s, an outstanding 23 years. So how did it eventually get shut down? Ray Hyman. This was the man appointed by the CIA through the American Institute of Research to evaluate the project. His primary conclusion was that the project had done nothing to help the government, intelligence, or military organizations. The project leads exclaimed that they were accurate 15% of the time, a large percentage in their minds, and had made discoveries large enough to consider breakthroughs, but no amount of arguing could have saved the project. Despite being shut down in 1995, rumors still persist that a few psychics stayed on at Fort Meade working on various secret initiatives. The CIA declassifies documents and projects that are no longer active after 25 years. This is why there is so much direct evidence of the strangeness that occurred during Project Sunstreak. This includes sketches from psychics, reports from experiments, briefing documents, mission statements, and more. Some are detailed, some are funny, but most are just downright fascinating. The Freedom of Information Act made it so declassified agency rules, documents, proceedings, opinions, and reports would need to be made viewable digitally. Thus, as of 2017, there are millions of declassified documents available to read on every matter of strange governmental operation, to include Project Sunstreak, making for a fascinating and observed strangeness of the CIA in the U.S. military history. Approved for release in August 8th of the year 2000, the Defense Intelligence Agency presented a brief overview of Project Sunstreak. This classified document, now released, contains the following. Good morning or afternoon. I would like to present a brief overview of the Project Sunstreak, giving a few points of its historical background, definitions of its basic words, and explanations of what is accomplished by our project. This briefing and the information it contains is classified secret special access information. Project Sunstreak deals with the use of psychoenergetics in the collection of intelligence information. Psychoenergetics is defined as shown here and is broadly subdivided into two classes: mental effects on the physical world and purely mental collection of information. Psychoenergetics is defined as follows: the process by which an individual may psychically interact with objects, locations, organisms, or events. Psychokinesis, physical actions performed by mental powers. ESP, telepathy, and remote viewing are considered perceptions which cannot be explained by known sensory means. Since the early 1970s, the Department of Defense has been involved in examining potential uses of psychoenergetics. Experiments using remote viewing as an intelligence gathering tool, conducted by two laser physicists, Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, at the Stanford Institute Research, proved successful. Remote viewing is an SRI coined term. The definition is shown here. Remote viewing is defined as the acquisition and description by mental means of information blocked from ordinary perception by distance, shielding, or time. Using several apparently gifted psychic subjects, the most notable of whom were Pat Price and Ingo Swann, the SRI scientists conducted several CIA-sponsored remote viewing tests. The early 1970s attempts by the DOD used experienced experimenters, Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, who used proven gifted subjects, Pat Price and Ingo Swann. Psychic impressions included much detailed, accurate information, some of which was previously reported about redacted. These psychic impressions were confirmed by human intelligence and national technical sources. 1970s early attempts by the Department of Defense gained detailed information about the Soviet R&D facility at Semipalatinsk. As a result of these original tests, emphasis over the latest decade has centered on remote viewing, rather than on other aspects of parapsychology, such as mental telepathy, ESP, or psychokinesis. Remote viewing, which is a term conceived at the SRI, adopted the method preferred over the methods such as mental telepathy, ESP, psychokinesis. The DIA and the military services have all, at one time or another, been involved in numerous psychoenergetic tests, most of them being applications oriented. In 1972, for example, the U.S. Army Surgeon General, through the Medical Intelligence Information Agency, now known as the Armed Forces Intelligence Agency, together with the DIA, published studies of Soviet bloc work in psychoenergetics. In 1976, the Missile Intelligence Agency informally expressed interest in the U.S. replication of claimed Soviet experiments in psychokinesis. SRI developed a small program for them, and in 1977, the Missile Intelligence Agency awarded SRI a one-year research and development contract. During the same time, the Army Material Systems Analysis Agency was involved in the investigation of remote viewing concepts with SRI. Also in 1977, the United States Army Intelligence and Security Command, INSCOM, established a project team under the Assistant Deputy Chief of Staff for Human Intelligence and implemented the Gondola Wish program. The purpose of the Gondola Wish program is shown here. Project Gondola Wish. Purpose: to integrate the Soviet and Eastern psychoenergetic intelligence collection threat into the all-source operations OPSEC support scenario. Location: Fort Meade, Maryland. By 1978, the U.S. Army ACSI concluded that there was sufficient evidence to warrant the development of a comprehensive program to explore intelligence collection applications of psychoenergetics. The Army ACSI canceled the Gondola Wish effort, placed a complete security envelope over the U.S. Army's interest in psychoenergetics, and implemented a new program directed toward intelligence collection using remote viewing. This new effort was given the unclassified name Grill Flame. Project Grill Flame, the purpose to use remote viewing as a collection of intelligence at Fort Meade, Maryland. By the spring of 1978, INSCOM project personnel had been selected and training was initiated. The next concern, however, was whether or not information obtained from remote viewing would be of reasonable accuracy. Even if so, would the information be accepted and used by the intelligence community? But would the information obtained by psychic means be accurate enough to suit the intelligence community's needs? Would the intelligence community accept information which had been obtained through psychic means? Work to answer these questions was overcome by events. On September 4th, 1979, ACSI tasked INSCOM to locate a missing Navy aircraft. Hence, the first INSCOM Grill Flame operational remote viewing session took place. In this initial session, the remote viewer located the missing aircraft within 15 miles of where it had crashed. Based on these results, INSCOM was taken to work against additional operational targets. These taskings forced a premature halt to the initial training phases, and by December of 1979, the project was committed to full operations. Because of this, an independent investigative committee was formed to review such activities. This committee was known as the Gale Committee. A final report was issued in December 1979. This section is redacted from this document and the operation that it included. The Gale Committee, an independent investigative body, was formed off of this redacted information. The Gale Committee final report was issued in December 1979. Some of the important findings of the Gale Committee are shown here. Continue operational activities to determine the value of remote viewing for intel collection. Follow psychoenergetic threats from foreign sources. And establish a central Department of Defense authority to fund and monitor psychoenergetic programs. Several months later, Dr. William Perry, Undersecretary of the Defense for Research and Engineering, having been advised the DOD psychoenergetic activities and the Gale Committee's findings, issued a March 5, 1980 memorandum. This memorandum terminated the R&D funding for psychoenergetic activities, but posed no objections to the continuance of intelligence application efforts. In February 1981, ACSI transferred Project Grill Flame management to INSCOM, a result of the Gale Committee findings and the Perry Memorandum in March 1981. The director of the DIA and the Army ACSI signed a joint Grill Flame method of understanding. The effort formed between the DIA and the Army was to implement a 3-year comprehensive program designed to do the following. February 1981, ACSI transfers Grill Flame management to INSCOM. The director of DIA and the Army ACSI signed a joint Grill Flame MOU to implement a 3-year program. Within this program, the roles of DIA and the Army were distinct. The Defense Intelligence Agency would focus on threat countermeasures, use established psychics, primarily through SRI contracts. The U.S. Army, INSCOM, would apply remote viewing programs, use assigned personnel, and contract to enhance capability. This method of understanding, or MOU, also formalized the cooperation among active Grill Flame players other than the DIA and INSCOM. Other players of Grill Flame were the Secretary of the Army, Army General Counsel, Assistant Surgeon General for the Medical R&D, Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, the NSA, the CIA, the Navy, and redacted. This joint services effort continued until December 1982, when the Budget Subcommittee of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence curtailed all psychoenergetic operational activities by INSCOM and the National Foreign Intelligence Programs. The committee was apparently under the misconception that the project was double-funded, having noted that there were 2-line-item entries in the budget, one for DIA and one for INSCOM. The congressional conferees agreed, however, to let the DIA complete the 3rd year of their effort, but directed that future funding in any psychoenergetic activity be budgeted outside of the NFIP, since the DIA effort seemed to them to be R&D orientated. In keeping with congressional desires, INSCOM terminated formal involvement with Grill Flame at the end of 1982, but maintained its momentum of effort by the direction of the CG INSCOM under a special access program called Centerlane, funded with SRNI monies. In January 1983, Dr. Richard Delauer, the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, signed a memorandum allowing P6 resources to be used to maintain and support the Centerlane program, thus reversing the Perry Memorandum of the 1980s. On October 19, 1983, the Defense Intelligence Agency published the results of their 3 psychoenergetic evaluation efforts. There were several key recommendations that resulted in the 3-year grill flame effort, as shown here. These findings and recommendations were supported by an independent science review panel. This information is redacted. Results of the DIA's evaluation effort. Basic research in both remote viewing and remote action phenomena should still be initiated. Applied intelligence applications research and remote viewing should be continued and should be under the overall management of the Defense Intelligence Agency. In August 1984, the decision was made to make the operational activities of NSCOM's remote viewing unit more responsive to strategic national-level taskings. In order to do this, it would be necessary to transfer the unit to DIA. On September 18, 1984, an MOA between the DIA and NSCOM for Project Center Lane's transfer was completed. By February 1985, the initial steps were underway to transfer Center Lane to the DIA as a DoD special access program. During this time period, Congress was being briefed on the DIA plan to form a collection activity based on more than 10 years of government-sponsored research and the DIA's own 3-year grill flame effort. With the understanding that it was the DIA's intent to conduct an intelligence collection program and not an R&D effort, the Senate resorted to the NFIP funding for intelligence applications for fiscal year 86 and beyond. A separate issue, DOD is also conducting a moderate R&D effort through the U.S. Army, which was P6 funding directed for research and engineering. The DOD and DIA psychoenergetic collection effort is now called Sunstreak, and the mission of Sunstreak is shown here. Purpose: to undertake operational intelligence applications using an aspect of psychoenergetics known as remote viewing. Project Sunstreak facilities and activities are located on Fort Meade, Maryland, approximately halfway between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland. Remote viewing is a highly controlled and formally established unique intelligence collection capability, which has the following characteristics. It is passive. To the extent of our knowledge, collection by remote viewing is totally passive. That is to say, it cannot be detected when it is in use. Only one scientific claim of detection of remote viewing is known. Chinese scientists claim to have detected remote viewing during their experiment with children. Data on these experiments is insufficient to validate this claim. Work to replicate these experiments, however, is still ongoing at SRI. Remote viewing is inexpensive. The principal cost of remote viewing collection is the people involved. There is little expensive hardware since, for the most part, the people themselves are the equipment. There is no known defense. Time, distance, target size, or degree of difficulty all have no apparent effect on the collection by remote viewing. Even conceptualized plans have been collected against prior to their actual implementation. Remote viewing has been successfully used against 7 categories of tasking. 2 of these categories, penetration of inaccessible targets and the queuing of their intelligence collection systems, are used predominantly at this time. 2 others, human source assessments and accurate personality profiles, presently lack a satisfactory database for effective exploitation. The tasking categories for Sunstreak are as follows. Penetration of inaccessible targets. Science and technology information. queuing of other intelligence collection systems, imminent hostilities, determination of nuclear from non-nuclear targets, human source assessments, and accuracy personality profiles. An integral part of the mission of Sunstreak involves training professional intelligence personnel to remote view. In 1979, INSCOM integrated the SRI contracted orientation technology into their in-house program, where it is still in use today for new personnel. Training developed from the practical application of state-of-the-art psychoenergetic technology drawn from academic institutions, scientific laboratories, and research establishments around the world. An eclectic approach was taken, using those methods which had applications potential for operational requirements. For the training, their practical exercises, lectures, literature review, observation of others, and practical training sessions conducted against training targets. In the 1970s, the consensus was that the remote viewing process seemed to be facilitated by physical relaxation and enhanced internal attention, or paying attention to one's own mental imagery and impressions. This conceptualized ideal state became the basis for a type of remote viewing now called extended remote viewing, or ERV. In mid-1982, a new training program began in Coordinate Remote Viewing, CRV, with the SRI. This new process, developed by Ingo Swan, an SRI subcontractor, subdivides the detection and decoding of psychic impressions into discrete, achievable skill levels known as stages 1 through 6. The process usually begins by presenting the remote viewing source with the geographic coordinates, hence the name Coordinate Remote Viewing. Coordinate Remote Viewing was a system whereby the remote viewer adheres to a very rigid structure and progresses through a series of stages, presently 1 to 6, postulated to correspond to increased mental contact with the designated site. The next part of the briefing will discuss what actually occurs in response to a tasking requirement for Sunstreak information. Typically, a project begins with a request for information on a target from a requesting agency. The first task is the construction of a remote viewing collection plan. The collection plan lists the essential elements of information and the intelligence indicators which will address these EEIs. Also listed are the target time windows for which these indicators will be relevant. The collection plan also indicates which remote viewing technique or whether a combination of techniques will be used. Remote viewers are selected on the basis of their past performance and the types of indicators which are needed for a particular project. Several sessions or interviews may have to be done to address all the indicators needed to answer the EEIs. A remote viewing session is a team effort. The team consists of the interviewer or monitor and the remote viewer. The ERV interviewer's job is to keep the remote viewer on track, to direct the focus of the remote viewer, and to elicit information about the target. The CRV monitor's job is to control and supervise the structure of the remote viewer's session. The remote viewer is responsible for reporting impressions, concepts, ideas, sensations, feelings, and the notions of the target. The goal of the session is to collect information of intelligence value. To do this, great care is taken to try and encourage the remote viewer to produce only psychic information of intelligence value, and not an analytic opinion. When the remote viewing session is completed, it is fully documented and a report is furnished to the requesting agency. After the project is completed, the requester provides an evaluation, As with any other intelligence sources, an evaluation is essential. The remote viewer wishes to know if he did well with his efforts. This helps him in the future projects as well as establishes a sense of worth in his efforts to remote view. It also provides us with a growing database on each remote viewer's success rate for enhancement of further tasking. This has been a brief overview of Project Sunstreak, a psychoenergetics program under the auspices of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Let me caution you again that the information contained in this briefing has been classified secret and is compartmented special access information. Warning notice: intelligence sources and methods involved. This is a document for project number 8806, session number 01. Date of session is June 3rd, 1988. Date of report is June 3rd, 1988. Start time is 1000 hours. End time was 1130 hours. Methodology was CRV, viewer identifier 01 Bravo. Line item 1. Mission: determine the current location of Terry Waite. In a separate effort, determine the current location of Terry Anderson. Line item 2. Viewer tasking: utilizing encrypted coordinates 7 Bravo 0701 324843. Terry Waite and encrypted coordinates 51336212773. Terry Anderson. Conduct a search effort and determine their respective locations of Waite and Anderson, respectively. Time permitting, provide additional data related to the target structure, the general target area, and the personnel present at the target site. Line item 3. Comments: no physical inclemencies noted. Viewer 01 Bravo perceives Waite and Anderson as being collected in the presence of two other non-U.S. national hostages. Viewer 079 summary and sketches are attached as enclosures. Evaluation: 1. Terry Waite, labeled A in Figure 3, is located in one corner of the front right room. He appears to be in good condition, but is bored, sad, and hungry. He is feeling both personal pride and a deep degree of uncertainty brought on by the boredom. The uncertainty is not about his future, but is more of a moral and/or religious uncertainty. He seems to be faced with a question as to whether what he is doing at this time, which is little more than staring at walls and waiting, is true martyrdom, or an indication that his whole effort was a mistake. 2. Across the hall is another hostage, labeled B in Figure 3, who gives the impression of being in bad physical shape. The hostage also gives a strong impression of being non-American. As we know now, he was French. 3. Down the hall, on the same side as Waite, are two more other hostages, labeled C and D in Figure 3. Apparently in the same room at the same time of the viewing. They seem to be in acceptable physical condition. They have formed a friendship and seem to be just biding their time, having accepted their situation. 1. Labeled C, appears to be Terry Anderson, while the other gives the strong impression also of being non-American. 4. There are 3 or 4 personnel in the back room of the building, on the same side as Terry Waite. They seem to be guards. There were impressions that they were tan uniforms. 5. Across the hall from them is a cook. The kitchen gave impressions of dirty and small, almost as though it was a makeshift. 6. There is one perimeter guard in the front of the compound who did not appear to walk more than front fence. He also tends the front gate. There are no impressions of perimeter guards on the other sides of the compound. Memorandum for the Assistant Deputy Director for Scientific and Technical Intelligence. Subject, Sunstreak Report. On 26 January 1988, in the course of a utility assessment conducted against Terry Waite as a target personality, viewer 079 provided substantially the following information. Viewer 079 perceived Terry Waite as currently being held captive near an old temple currently not in use and located 3 kilometers south of Beirut. Shiite Muslims were responsible for the abduction of Waite. The temple is located along an old alley and a purple cloth hung as a veil as identifiable with the temple. A cross bearing gold and white stone is also perceptible. See Enclosure 1. Despite his status as a hostage, Waite continues to negotiate from within for the release of the other hostages. His captors consider Waite a political lever of significant influence. Viewer 079 anticipates that barring the unforeseen, hostage negotiations will take place in May 1988. Terry Waite, along with 2 other hostages, will be returned to neutral territory in August 1988. Rudolf Cordes, German national who is also being held as a hostage, will be released in June 1988. Information provided by Cordes will be released in June 1988 and will be instrumental in the release of Waite and the other 2 hostages. Terry Anderson, the American national being held hostage, will be the last of the captives to be released. Anderson will be released in late August 1988, subsequent to Waite's release from captivity. Point of contact for this action is F. Galvin at Alpha Victor 923-7829-2656. Handle via Skeet channels only. Special access required. Classified by DIA. So there you have it for today. The white papers on Sunstreak are not limitless, but long. There are multiple other projects along with Sunstreak that I have, and there are many others that you can go out on your own and find. I suggest anyone do your own research and find as much on this information as you can. I find these types of actions that have been taken in the past to be significantly influential to our current day, and it continues to be repetitious in nature that our government, once they have found something useful, will never let it go. I believe that psychokinesis and parapsychology is probably still used in conjunction with today, but may not hold a candle to the latest and greatest of artificial intelligence and predictive programming based off of the internet and its searches through the NSA. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you write. This concludes today's briefing on Sunstreak. Stay frosty. stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.